come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast out there, folks. We appreciate you listening. We're doing a little something to give back right now, this entire month, going over to our Facebook page.
We are so generous.
At facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show, we're asking what you want us to watch. That's right. I know this is kind of dangerous and uncharted territory.
Yeah, my dad's chiming in, so.
Yes.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yes!
But I think he recommended something good. I'm just like,
all he right, was Massacre at Central
yeah,
High,
I think so.
I'm like, all right.
We can watch that.
Yeah. So somehow we're going to figure out like a voting process. I don't know if we're voting or we'll let you guys vote.
I think we should let them vote.
And determine what we're actually going to watch. So we're still taking the requests. So if you haven't already suggested something, head on over facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. And it's pinned to the top, the listener's choice picture. So give us a comment and we're going to listen and we're going to watch some of your movies. These are the Saturday Night Freak Show superstars.
Holly.
Travis.
Sean.
And I'm Colin. And every Saturday night, what we do here is we watch a movie that's chosen round robin by one of the internet radio superstars. And then we talk about it around the bars. We get continually inebriated every weekend. And as it goes, even Holly's chipping in this time.
I'm doing it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that makes sense because it's Holly's movie. Holly, what did we watch tonight?
Tonight, we watched The Stepford Wives, 1975.
Also known as the film where women don't wear bras.
That's the one.
All right.
Well, I think those were just the 70s. I think that's why they made such a good movie.
We could pin it down to a whole decade.
Ah, there
it
is.
It was glorious.
It was glorious.
So it's 1975, not to be confused with the Stepford Wives from 2004, yes. The ungodly remake.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but all
starring
you guys
Faith
have.
Hill.
Right? I've seen
it's
it.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's pretty much the end scene. The whole movie. Like, just that weird,
felt like
poppy,
it.
Like.
Yeah.
Like, kind of cheesy. Because it's like, it's kind of like, I used to love this movie. I don't know why I haven't went back and rewatched it. Oh, yeah, I will get to that. But I don't know why, I think I was just, when I was changing everything to Blu-rays, I've just been waiting, like, where's my stuff for wives? Where is it? Like, I'm waiting for it. I'll definitely get it when it comes out. But, God damn it, I lost my point.
The
I was,
new, like,
I was telling you the history.
Why you haven't rewatched
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's it. I fucking lost it.
That's all.
Never mind.
Just thoughts.
Never mind.
Well, this was a legitimate phenomenon, I think, in the 70s. I mean, to the point where the term Stepford Wife, I think, yeah. has entered the...
It's in the lexicon.
Yeah.
It means things.
Yeah, so I mean, that's...
Like you clean your house. Ooh, boo.
So it's based on a novel by Ira Levin, the guy who also gave us Rosemary's Baby.
Death Trap.
The Boys from Brazil.
Sliver.
And I think two versions of A Kiss Before Dying.
Two versions?
Well, they made it into a movie twice. Yeah. Once with Matt Dillon in the 90s.
Made a bunch of plays.
Matt Dillon in the 90s.
Yeah.
The first thing Ira Levin ever wrote was an episode of Lights Out.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was Lights Out?
Was a radio program.
Ooh. It was kind of like
Tales from the Crypt
or Thriller, you know, whatever.
Fun.
Yeah. So the screenplay also, so I mean, like, this has a pedigree. The screenplay by William Goldman.
Yes, right. Indeed.
Yeah.
William Goldman also wrote Magic,
yes.
Both the novel and the movie. Mm-hmm. The Princess Bride, both the novel and the movie.
All the President's Men, not the novel, but the movie.
The movie version of Misery.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Famous scriptwriter.
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah. All right. So, Stepford Wives stars the beautiful Catherine Ross.
Catherine Ross.
She of the luxurious, like, waist-length hair. This is also something I think you only get away with in the 70s.
True.
Yeah. And so, she's a photographer.
Is she?
From New York. A hobbyist?
She's a housewife that wishes she would have actually done something with her life.
She's an enthusiast.
Yeah.
It's a hobby that she would like it to be a career.
That's why, I don't know, man.
Well, this, Oh, go ahead.
No.
Well, it's a movie. It's one of those, like, I've seen this kind of thing before where, like, it's, you know, the family gets uprooted from the city and moves to the country.
The country is never any good for anybody, apparently.
Well, no, this is...
California, New York people hate this fucking country.
But this is, like, the flip side of it. Like, usually it's like, we got to get out of the shitty city and get to the country. And in this one, she's actually, like, I wish I could get back to the city.
Indeed.
You know? I need the noise, because in the city there was a pulse, there was friends, and yeah, there's life and culture. And her husband,
out here there are fields,
moves out to the sticks, to Stepford, which I think is still in New York, right? We're saying this
just
is still
one of those country.
I thought it was supposed to be Connecticut.
It's like the Hamptons. I don't know. It's just where people go. Yeah, when you're rich.
And the town is. They never actually, like, it's always referred to as, like, you know, everybody in Stepford is a part of the Home and Garden set, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But apparently it has its own industry, because when they're driving around, like, every single
robots
gigantic building is, like, computer.
Computers,
chemists.
Yeah.
It's where all the men
work.
They
all move there just to do what they do.
It didn't sound like that. It sounded like
something I stumbled upon.
The husband's talking about, like, you know, this guy was a CEO of some broadcast network. This guy's a doctor. This guy's a scientist. This guy is
like
a lawyer.
Okay, we're like, okay, where we live about what, an hour and a half, 2 hours from Chicago. Mm. Well, we have doctors that work in Chicago live here. People don't want to live in the fucking cities. They want to have their family.
Yes.
You know,
from the suburbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of what they're going for. But it also seems like this place does have, like, a tech campus, right?
Well, there's the part towards the end of the movie when she's talking to a therapist, and the therapist says, what do you think of when you – was it West – she brings up the city in Connecticut.
Like Woodhaven or something like that.
Westport.
Westport, thank you. Westport, Connecticut. And she's like, what do you think of when you think of that? And she's like, writers. And then she makes the note that, you know, a town doesn't become a place for those people until they talk to other people of the same profession and bring them there. So I think that's kind of what they were going for, that these men are bringing their profession to the town. I think it was deliberate that these factories and different places are popping up in Stepford. I think it was started out as a small town, but I think they're bringing their industry there.
Yeah.
I think that's
where. And it's led by the the lead. There's this guy who's a kind of a sinister fellow, I think. That,
turtlenecks, man.
Yeah.
It's all the turtlenecks. Who don't trust people wearing turtlenecks.
So our first clue is because he's a former Disneyland engineer.
He's an Imagineer.
Diz, they call him.
Is this also saying something about the, I mean, I don't know.
Kind of like Westworld. We just watched Westworld.
I mean, that's what
and they
I
were just
thinking.
Obsessed with, I swear to God, it's like the fucking Pirates of the Caribbean changed science or something. Like, what? Pretty soon we'll get to fuck them. Like, that's all I care about.
I mean, that was going on inside the rides. You see, you've gone through it. You see the pirates chasing the women.
It's
all
true.
The way around.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah. I feel like you're onto something, man.
It's like, yeah.
I'm telling
step
you.
One right
that's
there.
The first thing you use technology for is weaponizing and fucking it. That's what we do.
Well, we're bored blowing shit up. What do we do now?
Yeah,
well,
fuck it.
Can we fuck it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm more like, I don't know. To me, this movie starts off a little weird, because at first it's just like, she's just mad that her husband has a men's club, right? It just seems kind of like, okay, go get a woman's club. Like, I don't get why she's so, like, I don't get it. What are you doing? It's like, all right.
Yeah, there's like
it was a little dramatic. Yeah, the whole point was not well. It was not done well. Like they were going for the whole, you don't ask my opinion, you actually mean it. Like you ask it, but you've already made your decision. They didn't do a good job bringing that across. She was just a little dramatic about it.
Of everything, like they go to the grocery store and he's writing out a check. I'm, did you write that check? You never see if I'm done shopping. I'm like, oh god, like this bitch is just fucking like. Everything
I
is a problem.
What trying to do, but it came across a little dramatic.
Yeah.
Well, she takes a problem with the men's association just because, like, Stepford has a men's association, like a male only club.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, in the late 20th century, that there would be such a thing. But yeah, I mean, at the same time, it's like apparently Stepford at one point did have a women's club.
We find out later.
She wants to start a women's club.
Yeah.
just to spite the men. I mean, that's what I get at. It's like, it's just to spite people. They don't need it. They don't even have anything to talk about. They just want to spite the men.
They need an outlet, Travis.
Yeah.
It should be raising their kids. I don't know.
No, they don't do it. Like I said, they don't do a great job bringing across what the point is. They make it sound like it's like, oh, well, we need a women's club because you have a men's club. I think it was
well, but
just
I think
like
they do. It's like everything about these characters is just like, I mean, fuck, how do I like, I mean, there's so much that she's just, I mean, every scene is just talking about how unhappy, like, I can't believe a man expects you to do this. I can't believe you clean. I can't believe, it's just like, isn't this what women do? I mean, isn't this, I mean, not women, people. If you have a house or a family, don't you take care of, do you live in your own filth just to spite each other at home? Just to be like, you clean it, I clean it last.
I tend to just ignore my wife and child most of the time, so I don't.
And you do the cleaning? You just, I know, God damn it.
I've seen it, he does.
I like a clean house.
But I don't know, they just act like right from the get. I mean, I think you're right because I do like this movie. It's like a modern day Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah.
It's a
you're going around realizing everybody's changed and everybody, you know, and also just like this is something Ira Levin loves. I don't know if he's feeling guilty if he's a cuck, but like Rosemary's Baby is about a wife who moves into an apartment and her husband is tricking her with this group of people. And then this movie, which was, I want to say he wrote this right after Rosemary's Baby, right? It was written in 72. I think Rosemary's Baby was 68. It could be wrong.
Well, the movie came out in 68.
Then the book was 66. I don't know. Yeah,
this,
I'm just going to push
you're right.
To
this
you.
Was 72 that this was, that this came out. Mm. But
so I'm kind of like, so yeah, this like, there's something going on here, right? Something is about how men trick women to like live how they want to live, right? I guess,
do they
right?
trick them, or is it the idea that like, because we're talking about like this is a response to like female liberation, right? The a movement, a political movement that took place in the late 60s in this country, right? I believe,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the idea that like instead of like that women would give up their own interests in order to move like across country or wherever and be, you know, go wherever their husbands got jobs or whatever. Right. And so like mm-hmm. they're subverting their own interests for the family. It trades off. They have kids, they become the mothers. And then it's like, hey, I used to be a photographer and you know, where did my interest in photography go? And then they end up resenting the guy like later on in, you know, in life. That's like somehow you took me away from my actual interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
why
this
I don't
is like
buy
a satire
the politics
of
this movie. Like, I like it. I get what they're saying, right? I get all men think of women as just sexual objects. I mean, the first thing we see is a man carrying a fucking mannequin with her, with oh, like a covering on her eyes, right?
Yeah, in downtown New York, which sets the foreshadowing for the movie.
Yeah. Indeed. But I hate that this movie doesn't show this woman as a mom at all. She's not a loving mother. I don't even know what the kids are doing. They just like pawn them off on each other's friends or whatever as they go out shopping or whatever. Like, she's not a mom. Like, that is what would really be taking up a woman's time. Is
well,
I don't
think
the story is about her
time,
being.
I think a lot of times they're at school.
Well, but that's usually where women find their fulfillment. If you decide to have a family, your fulfillment usually comes from the family. It's not like, now what do? I had this family. Like, I had a you know, like just move on.
I think a lot of the times the kids are at school, it's about how she doesn't have much to do during the day, like as a housewife.
Okay.
Well, they are in the middle of summer.
Is it summer? They it's do show, June. There's a couple of, like, lip service scenes where she puts the kid to bed and reads her, you know, a story, at least one of the daughters. But they have two daughters. I don't know where the other
where's
one
the
is.
Other
yeah,
one?
Where's the other one? Yeah.
It's mostly about, you know, it's like, it's a paranoid thriller where she is noticing all these strange behaviors for the from the other women.
And it's just that their kitchens are clean.
I mean, it's 30 years ago.
Yeah, but it's like it's their it's kitchens the, are clean, but they like they live for the baking. They live for the cleaning.
I like, can't do anything. I've got all this baking to do. What?
Yeah. And she seems to be just like, well, what do you do for like a hobby? Or what do you, you know, it's like she wants like a social interaction because she's lonely, I think, when she gets there.
And all these women, like, all they want to do is please their husband. That's all they want to do.
It's horrible.
Well, it's boring.
They wander into
Don't you think about that before you have a family? I don't know. It's me. I'm just crazy.
They wander into a house where there's some loud lovemaking taking place upstairs, which is one of the hilarious scenes in the movie. Yeah.
I still think he was fixing a wire, but that's just
me. Yeah. You're awesome. You're the king, Frank. You're great. You're, you know, it's you're like the master. Her. Yeah. So is this movie, okay, so here's the question, right? Because obviously there was a remake done that went like straight for comedy, right? In the 2000s, it was like this was no longer a thriller. This was just like a satire.
It was just a satire.
In the 70s, there's satiric elements to it, but it does have like a kind of parts of it are funny, but it's not like a comedy, right? I mean, it is more supposed to be like a suburban nightmare, I think, for women.
Yes.
Yeah.
It feels like that's how it was built, yes.
I think it definitely has a black comedy element still, though. I mean, it's just the 70s didn't have such like a poppy, like the death of Smoochie,
comedic relief, like with Bobby, the best friend. She's got some one-liners, but I don't think the focus was a comedy. I think it's a psychological thing.
No, because the people or the women who are watching this movie during that time are, I mean, they're obviously identifying with the Catherine Ross character.
Yeah.
So to see the other wives just being sedate in what they do and just their whole purpose is to please their families. Like, I think they're looking at that as just like, oh, Jesus. Like, I think they would have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Would it surprise you to know that feminists in 1975 thought this was an anti-woman movie?
It is an anti-woman movie. It says if you think taking care of your family is important, then you're not a real woman. Yeah, this is an anti-family movie, anti-nuclear family. It tells women, hey, just go do your own thing. This is why this movie is why women wear fucking their pajama pants outside nowadays, is we just let it go too far. Like, fine, dress like shit. Act exactly like a man. We don't care.
I do miss the days where everyone just, like, when you were just hanging out, you were in, dress pants and a dress shirt and just being like, hey, what's up? Like,
well, that's what I'm saying.
I want to go back to those days. Just hang out in suits and everything.
I was at the gas station getting beer, and I saw a dude wearing pajama pants, not just women.
Oh, you got me. That's it. You got me. That's it. No, but I'm saying, like, okay, look at this. This is how backwards empowerment goes, right? Okay, throughout this whole movie, the woman and her friend are dressed stunningly. The best, the shortest shit, the whatever, and they're just like, this is them being free. But it's all the Stepford wives that are dressed like,
they've got the sun hats on.
Conservatively. It's like, well, if I was a man and I wanted women to dress like sluts, I would make them feel empowered to dress like sluts. And you know what I'm saying? It's like there's a backwardsness to this where it doesn't really make sense because it's like so.
Like, if the men was in charge, he would have them dressing like the main characters?
Yeah, they wouldn't be. Yeah. They would not dress like the Stepford wives. They would dress the way the main characters dress, where it's like, no bra, cut down to the middle of their fucking chest. It's like, they already dress the way a sexualized man would want them to dress. But that was supposed to be empowerment for the characters.
Well, they said it was, I know there was a difference between the way that William Goldman had written the script and the way that the director, like, actually dressed them. Because apparently in Goldman's version, they were supposed to be, like, more Playboy, but, like, once, you know, the change had happened, they were supposed to be, like, idealized Playboy playmates. Mm-hmm. And the director, being an English guy, that's with sun hats and all that, and the long dresses.
He's like, no, I find it very sexy. What? What's wrong?
It's a weird thing that they're setting up where, you know, so, I mean, the idea, right, for anybody who doesn't know what's happened is that the husband, all the men in the men's association in this town are murdering their wives and replacing them with these automatons, right?
Murdered, we should say.
Yeah. And so the automatons are like the perfect idealized wife, basically subservient to the husband's every whim. Husbands go out and work. Wives do all the housework and are taking care of the kids and all this. Then the husbands come home. And then they go off to the men's association and the women just sit around baking cookies and stuff like this. So the idea that, you know, they're dressed in these like, you know, full you know, conservative dresses when they're out in public. But then, you know, when they're home, I mean, you know, there's a scene earlier where one of the husbands, like in the middle of the day, comes home for some afternoon delight. And, you know, the wife's like immediately like, all right, let's go to the bedroom.
Yeah,
so
that's our...
there's still like the, you know, the I was going to say like the animal passion, but that's not there with a robot. You know, there's...
No, it's more like the control. It's like I can.
It's just the man have this whenever yeah, I want. Touching her whenever.
Yeah. But like, I want her to look. Dress conservative out in public and not look like a playmate.
Maybe. Right, freaking right? the sheets.
I'm saying this from
that's
point.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, and he wants
lady
the...
in the streets freaking the sheets. Yeah. That's what, right. I think that's what the, maybe that's what they're going for. Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
This is how they said it in the
70s. Yeah.
No, I like the, what's the husband say? Like she looks as good as she can cook or something like that.
Yeah.
That was a cool right,
yeah. Which that's also, it's, that was creepy because I didn't know like how, I mean, I guess that they're moving to this town, but I wasn't aware, you know, it's been a while since I've seen it, that right off the bat, the reason he is moving his family uh-huh. there is because he's already been sold on this
just
idea.
Like Rosemary's thing. Baby, right? Move into this apartment and hey, you'll have the son of Satan, you yeah. know?
Yeah. So he's moved there to murder her. I mean, it's like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is creepy and sad and, you know, horrifying, I suppose, right? This is yeah. the wheels of this, like, you know, kicking in. It's like that poor woman, as soon as she leaves New York, is basically doomed. Doomed.
Yes.
Doomed. But she wouldn't be doomed. Like, seriously, this isn't in the movie, but I'm just saying, like, she wouldn't be doomed if she was happy with her family life, right? Because that's where you get this whole idea of, right, is that... Because, I mean, this could happen for anybody, right? Like, even if you're in love with somebody, even having kids changes the dynamic, right? Mm. You could love somebody without kids, fucking hate them with kids. Change your dimensions, right? So this is obviously somebody that should have never had kids. That's who this character is. This is why the kids aren't even a part of this movie. She should have she don't even think about the fucking kids. She should have never had them. She should have been a photographer. Should have kept going on. She should have, in this movie, brings up some old lover of hers. That she should yes. have been with. So she Raymond don't even Chandler. Like her fucking husband. You know, she don't even like her husband. Like, seriously, this is one of those things like, oh, she's getting supported. Like, ah, this is not working the way it worked on me when I first saw this movie. It's like, I should be feeling for this woman. But no, she's supported by somebody she don't fucking love. That she just like, whoops, like, it happened.
Yeah, but you're not saying that,
that
she
all.
Deserves getting
what
murdered
you get?
Because of this.
I didn't
right?
get that at all. I think she loves her husband. I don't think she likes the
There's a scene where she says she doesn't love him.
No, that,
no,
was,
the other
that was the other one.
That's Charlemagne.
Oh, Charlemagne.
Charlemagne. That was Ginger.
Charlemagne.
Ginger, yeah. yeah.
No, like she does love
she
her husband.
Tina
Louise,
yes.
And
yes, she, talks about, she talks about her children a lot. It's just
I don't, but don't say talks about her children.
About
yeah, I
the
get it.
The movie wasn't about her
But
children.
It was about how empty her life is. It's like, well, I'm not seeing any of this shit with the kid. That's what I'm saying, dude. It's like, this is why this movie is nitpicking, like, what women can be unhappy about and what they. Because it's like. Oh, you go off to the men's club and I got nothing to do. Bullshit. You got, you know, you can fucking take care of your kids or you can whatever. Yeah.
Right. Cause he can go off to the men's club and she just takes care of the kids and that's life. That's
doesn't
life.
He work? Doesn't he work 80 hours a week? Like he said, what does she do? She shops around with her friends and bitches about him. That's what her job is.
That's what she's saying. In the city, she was a photographer and she had something. Here, she doesn't feel like she has anything.
See, I still haven't even got because she's still looking for someone to tell her she's a good photographer. She's not a photographer. She's interested in it, but you know, her life has to be focused on the man, on the family, you know, like it is, right? When you have kids, isn't that your focus? I'm sorry.
Well, I think in the 70s when things were a little different than they are now, it's like now.
Are they different now?
Yeah.
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 Not by much.
Well, I mean, because now everybody has a, you know, like their own career path and are juggling the kids. Does it work yeah. better that way?
Yeah, but right know, now you know, they're talking. I'm sorry, but right now they're talking there, about giving women money just to take care of their kids. It's like they want the state to replace the father. This is why I don't agree with the politics of this movie, is because it no longer becomes about, you know, it's about. Empowering women to not have anybody, but you know what? You still get everything. You still get your fucking kids. You still get your fucking job. You just, you know, you drop them off in the, you know, you just drop them off whenever you got to go work or whatever. This is the only, it's like, I like this movie. I like the whatever, but, the politics of it is just anti-family.
But on the other side of it too, it's like the the men in this situation, like, also don't seem like they should ever have gotten married. Like, what did they get married for? Because clearly every moment that they live, they're either working the 80 hours a week or they're at the men's association every single night, it says.
Obviously not happy with the choices they've made as well.
Charlotte, Ginger.
Yes. I think Charmaine.
Charmaine?
And let's just call her Charlemagne. Yeah. He was a king of whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Charmaine.
Ginger.
Yes.
Like, she even says the only reason her husband married her is because of the way she looked. He needed some arm candy. He's never loved her.
I that's why I get the impression that, like, you know, it's like, so the movie is maybe saying something greater about just, like, human relationships in general. The fact that these guys basically got married because that's, I guess, the thing you do. You have a wife. And what is the, you know, the wife is there to cook, clean, take care of the kids, and to, like, tell you you're awesome in bed. Or, you know, be available for sex, like, whenever you want it. And that's it. That's all that the guys in this movie want.
Yes.
So they're not looking for, like, an actual, like, relationship.
They just want all their needs met.
Yeah, even when they have Bobby's kids. So the husband is with the kids and she's in the dark room. He has no idea what to do. He's complaining because he spent, 5 hours with them?
She even said it to him. She's like, I entertain them 7 days a week.
She's like, yeah, I have them 7 days a week. You're smart. You can do it for an hour. Figure it out. Like, maybe he shouldn't have been a dad, you know?
Also very true. Well, everybody's made mistakes, I think, at this point, which is what leads.
This is why this is anti-family. You get what I'm saying? Everybody came to that nobody should have kids. Well, yeah, this movie's fucking.
These people probably shouldn't have. Yes.
Jeez.
I'm just not getting that from Catherine Ross's character. I think she loves her kids. She's just feeling like she has lost part of who she is as a woman because she doesn't have time. For herself, she doesn't know how to fill that void that she's feeling. When in the city, she had her photography, and I mean, I don't know why she's feeling that. You live in the country; the country's beautiful. I think you can take pictures, but whatever. I didn't write it.
Well, I think it's
didn't lose something as a woman, just as a person.
Yeah,
it's people want to do
exactly,
things.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not just men.
But
and
this
women.
Is saying the culture of women have lost their individuality. Is what this whole movie's saying. It's not all this one girl. No, this is saying women. If you do the things that women did in the 50s, you're not a woman. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's what this movie's saying.
I'm not sure it's that far.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, granted, I think that the Stepford Wives are based off of a 1950s model. And even if that's not the case, then they're definitely based off of the model of, like, Calgon television commercials or Bounty commercials or something like that. It's like all of the are better
homes and
gardens
magazines. To the point
where they're
just spouting the rhetoric from the commercials to each other.
Yeah, in a hilarious
which is fantastic.
That was funny.
Yeah, if you're going to use whatever, some such and such shampoo, you know.
But I just don't like, because, okay, Catherine Ross, she gets together a women's lib meeting, whatever, and she's got nothing to even say. It's like, you fucking started this. Are you going to, like, anybody? You start. Anybody? It's like, so this is why I'm like, this is despite men. They don't have a purpose. They're not like, we need to vote. Oh, shit, we got voting. We need
they just want a sense of community.
Yeah,
like I said, I think that's
because the
really,
men have it with their society and everything.
It's a social thing more than anything else, right? Like, she just feels lonely because she's there, and until Bobby comes along, then eventually I think it's Charmaine.
Ginger.
Yeah. Right. You know, so then she has friends, and then, like, to see them be taken away again,
one by one,
like, you know, underscores, like, where things are, you know, that she has no one. And then she ends up going to a psychiatrist, which, you know, when she's breaking down in that scene with the husband, it's like, it really is one of those, like, I mean, I guess that's why I say this is like one of those 70s paranoia thrillers, because he's like, you want to move because, you know, you're in a town where people, like, keep their houses clean. Like, you know, it's like, so call me crazy. This is, you got to see somebody about this. And, like, he doesn't sound irrational.
No, he's making good points. Yeah. Like, from his perspective, like, because though if we look at But he knows at that point.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
That's the thing. Which I didn't think about until now. I'm just like, well, he knows.
As soon as he said, looks as good as they, you know, cooks as good as they look, I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, this guy. Yeah. Like,
but it makes, if he didn't know, it makes sense, the arguments he's making.
Well, yeah, because I'm making those same arguments right now. I'm like, that's crazy. It is crazy to be like, the little things you do just to, you know, that's normal stuff, right? People clean their house.
Right. But he does know, which is just like, oh, looking back at that later, it's like, oh, Jesus, he's just pushing her towards it.
But I do like how the husband, there's at least those scenes where the husbands are distraught and you don't know why, right? Like, it is a hard thing for him. It's like, God damn it. I just want to be fucking appreciated, you know? And,
yeah, but that one guy, okay, so there's a scene in the car with this guy who's crying.
And we sweating. Don't know
why. Sweating profusely.
And, you know,
it's
I mean,
he's got to go through with it. And he's just like,
I was going to say, he probably just did go through with it, right? That's after you kill your wife and get the robot.
That's after the whole scene, with the robot and everything, when they put the eyes in.
But he loses whatever sympathy we had for him, because the very next scene is him, like, with a bulldozer tearing up his wife's tennis court to put in the pool that he's always wanted. And he's out there, like, smiling and giving thumbs up and all this.
Well,
and
standing right next to the bulldozer.
It sounds like a bad idea until you try it. The stepford wives sound like it could be like,
that's what the guys are, like, trying to impress upon the husband, right? Walter, it's like, I know you haven't, like, you're not 100% decided.
Got your reservations, but look,
because he's like, well, I love my wife, you know, because I think he says that to her, like, shortly after that little exchange with that other guy. Mm-hmm. But he's like, I do love you, you know.
But why would you move there if you're not completely prepared, right?
Well, everybody thinks they're completely prepared for a situation, and I mean, until you get to it, then I mean, it happens. You all have all types of reservations. You always think you're ready for something, and then when you get up to it, you can always have. There's always that self doubt when you're going into it. You're just like, oh Jesus, what am I actually doing? It gets to a point where you're just thinking about like, what am I actually about to do? Mm-hmm. And that's what he gets to. I mean, that's what he gets to when she finds him drinking, sitting in the chair at night, and that's what the one guy sweating and crying afterwards. It's like, what did I just do? Like, they have that moment. Like, you can't know how you're going to feel about something sometimes until you're actually in the middle of doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I like the scenes where these guys are crying. I mean, I wish it would have given us a little bit of insight into them, because it seemed like whenever there was kind of like a moment, they seem to just, like, piss the husband off anyway, to be like, well, maybe you could clean. Like, oh, now I'm back to 1950s guy. Like, fuck, I kind of wish I could see how hard it is for him to be like, damn it, I love my wife. I just want her to fucking respect me or whatever. You know, like, what is he thinking, right?
Yeah.
Because it can't be. This is why whenever I call something propaganda, it's what sides are you getting, right? If there's just redneck hillbilly cops and that's what they are, it's like, well, obviously this is slanted, you know? Like, I'd like to get, you know.
Yeah. Well, I get what you're saying, because I mean, but it's a horror movie, which is supposed to be, you know, we're subjective in the point of view of Catherine Ross.
For sure.
Well, I see those guys anyway. It's subjective that way, but it does tip its hand early at the beginning because of those scenes, because we know that the husband, you know, is in on this. Or do you only,
well, there's
does it only work if you know, you know, like what the movie is like? We all, like I said, we all know what a Stepford wife is before you even see the movie. You know, it's kind of like Soylent Green, right? You know what it is before you see the movie.
It's people.
It's people.
There's no surprise to us, as there might have been to a 1975 audience, right?
Yes.
Is there? Because there's really no surprise once, like, because the first, our first contact with a robot is the Van Sant wife, who comes over with a
magically.
That's awesome. With a casserole. With a casserole.
It's always a casserole. Does anyone ever come up to you in your house with a casserole?
Women don't make casseroles anymore.
I don't live in Stepford. Yeah.
I love casseroles.
Well, you're one of the good ones.
I just don't bring them to my neighbors.
No, it's like,
oh, you're just moving.
Maybe at funerals.
Casserole.
Oh, yeah, no, if someone dies, you have to.
Yeah, so there you go. Apparently, you're supposed, when somebody moves in, you bring a fucking cake or a pie.
That used to be America. So then, okay, well,
maybe it still happens. Listener, if you have
moved
in,
if this happens to you,
I don't
do
it. Listener, I don't care.
Please let us know.
So this Van Sant robot woman gets in a car accident, and that was the first tip off, right? Is because
so silly.
Yeah. Yeah. She starts like, well, at that pool party where she's like, I must get, I'm dying to get this recipe or whatever.
I'll die if I don't get this recipe.
And then she just goes to everybody saying that shit. And that's when I was like, how many people are still waiting for the robot wives? Because if the guy has to act like, oh, she's had too much to drink.
I feel like there's a
good
amount.
She starts repeating things over and over again.
Right, right. I feel like there's a good amount. He's just like, oh, it's Mildred, goddammit.
I mean, we learn of like three. I kind of wish that was like, I don't know. I almost wish there was like an association, like a Stepford Association meeting, so these characters could have all gotten to know each other at the beginning, you know, because it takes us a time. Like Catherine Ross is by herself, and then she finds her friend, and then they find the fucking redhead chick,
Charmaine.
Charlie.
She's never gonna have a name.
Charlene.
Charmaine.
Oh.
Catherine Ross is not gonna have a name to me.
Joanna.
She's just the character.
She's Joanna
and Bobby,
the female character.
I was
just saying that, like, the whole idea of the robot thing wasn't even a shock. You know these people are fucking robots or something. They're weird.
At the very beginning when she brings the casserole, I mean, there's a suspicion, like, okay, maybe she's brainwashed. Like, you don't know that she's a robot yet, but when she starts turning into, like, a broken record, then you're like, oh.
That's when you have to.
Is it just because that's the way that we read robots? Is, like, if someone begins doing some kind of...
Repeating behavior.
Either that or a stroke.
Yeah, right. If she looked fine, yeah.
I was like, concussion? Or what's happening?
Yeah, because... In the reality of the movie, the characters, I think, right? They're like, there's something wrong with her. They had to take her to the hospital. And then later when Bobby and Joanna are like, there's something happening to the women here. They, you know, go to, I think, probably a saner idea that, you know, there's something in the water. Maybe there's something is changing these people. And maybe not, you know, like
in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not being replaced by, you know, full-on robotic automatons.
Because you wouldn't think that. You would not. That'd be the last thing you thought of.
I mean, it really would be.
But would a horror movie audience in the 70s, I just wonder, like, was that a big shock?
Right.
I'll imagine
it was.
Was the book really, like, so, like, was it a social thing? Did everyone know about the book?
Oh,
or
sure.
Did the book become... popular because they made a movie out of it. I'm not sure about that.
I mean, Ira Levin, I mean, the guy wrote Rosemary's Baby. Yeah. I mean, I guarantee this was a popular book. I guarantee it.
Yeah, but I mean, even with the people who don't read or whatever, I'm sure it became like a bigger deal, you know, once the film was made.
I think in the 70s, everybody read. Well, that was still those times.
Right, I think they did.
You know?
Like... Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. People read back then. They couldn't just get
the kids are outside playing. What should I do? Read.
Well, the book is apparently a little more
in depth.
Well, yeah, it's more in depth. It's more nefarious in some ways that like it there. And I haven't read it. I did studying for tonight.
Cliff's
right.
Notes.
I did the Cliff's Notes version. But in the book, she is actually like a good photographer, you know, like a professional photographer. She's got an agent and all this stuff. And like one of the things that, you know, her robot says at the end is like, oh, you know, I don't do photography so much anymore. I wasn't all that good at it anyway. I'm like, well, because that's what her husband's perspective was, you know. But I think there's also, they say that what makes it scary is, at least for, you know, the women readers of the day, is that the character has, like, because she doesn't know what's going on and these women are so perfect that in some ways she wants to be like them, right? You know, because
she even says it in the movie. She's like, it's perfect. How could you not like that? It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't. And she's got that feeling.
I was thinking that the whole time. I was like, you know, these concepts that they're showing these women, I was like, I wish my house was spotless all the time. I wish I had that kind of drive. I wish I did all these things. But then I'm like, they're not really portraying that it's that idyllic to a woman,
right?
You know,
that's what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be great. I wish I had that kind of
thing. I mean, I wish there was one woman character that was that way without being a robot, just to, you know, shake up the
lady
conversation.
Who's the newspaper lady?
Yeah. What's her deal?
She's too old.
She looked like she was
not married.
But she still seemed like she was gathering information on the Catherine Ross character, right?
Just because that's what she, that's how she fills her time.
No, everybody, no, everybody in this town that wanted to know if they have a purpose of, they are mapping the personalities of these individual women.
So she's like, she's the first gate they go through.
I think so, dude. They want to know, hey, who are you? Because they want to know.
But she just happens to like what she does. But she is the first gate they go through. That's how they get the information.
I think this movie's
not to
simple,
her knowing.
But this movie's simple. Only men are the perpetrators in this
yes,
movie.
Yes, but I think they
She's
use
not
her
part
for
of the
what she does.
Men's Association.
I think they use her for what she does to get the information they need about new people coming into the town. Like, I think...
That's what I thought, too. I thought it was like... Everything was about profiling her.
It feels like that's the first version of that to me.
That lady there for, except to find out that there was.
But I think she just happens to love, even if she's not employed by the men, she loves gossip and everything.
Well, do you remember when the therapist says that, you know, some people will move to a town, will move to a place like Stepford and think it's great? I think she's that person.
Probably the one who just weaves in, doesn't think anything's wrong. She's like, no, it's
well, she was from the 50s, right?
Yeah.
This is what she's used to.
She was from the 50s. It's not out of order for her.
Yeah.
I love the guy at the beginning after the car accident. He's like, you'll never want to get into an accident any place but Stepford.
That was weird.
6 minutes for that ambulance to get here. If you're going to get injured in Stepford.
A weird,
that guy was great.
Like, cameo weird. Appearance by Kenneth MacMillan.
From, right, when, yeah, what from else?
Well, I know he was in Salem's Lot, the Toby Hooper movie. No. He's been in a bunch of other stuff. I can't
I've seen
tell
him
you
something else.
Mm-hmm. He's familiar.
But,
yes,
but he was funny. That's good.
Yes.
Get in an accident and suffer.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes is when the guy is sketching her. You know, like, I don't know why you want to take a photograph of people. Why do you got to sketch
it up? I think it's the detail. Like, he can get more detail in his drawing.
I guess so. It's pretty artsy.
It's what he does.
I think you get more detail out of a photograph.
Well, but how do you... But I think it's easier to just have the meeting and draw her rather than get her in a situation where they can...
I'm sure. I do like that scene because that scene's kind of like... It's to show her that, oh, it's a boring men's
meeting.
Right,
you get... But yeah, you get...
But it's there to fucking... to continue to map her.
Yes. You get two things at once out of that scene because she's almost comatose by the meeting, which has got to be on purpose.
Yeah.
The things they're talking about. So
that's
that she's
not what
just
they
like,
actually talk about at the Men's Association meetings.
So that they can get her there to draw.
Well, it's also, I think, like, it's, you know, I'd wonder if that scene was in the book because for a film, visually, that is like somebody like creating a likeness of her, right? I mean, they're not sculpting it out of clay or whatever, but it's like, look how close he's getting to like what her actual physical likeness is, you know? But he's somehow capturing her essence in that scene.
Right. Yeah. And that, I mean, that just equals tension later in the movie once people are switching and you keep seeing the drawings in everybody's house and everything. That kind of ramps that up. It's just like, oh shit. Yeah. They drew her first.
They drew her.
What's going to happen?
So it is a horror movie that takes place like during the day for the most part. Like there are very few scenes that actually take place at night until we get to the climax of the movie when it like just. Full on switches over to like gothic horror.
Yes, rain.
You know, like Ira Levin
castles.
Wrote a lot of plays. So you always, like the end of Death Trap, the end of the, you know, you always, it's a, always a dark fucking stormy night. Like when you enter into your last act, man. Yeah, or whatever.
And you have to go to a big mansion that looks like a castle.
Yes.
Yeah, that was
in the rain.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
Just, cool. I don't know. Just the idea of,
was that in the book, I wonder? Because it felt like they just kind of needed that to be like, well, it's, you know, it's a horror movie.
Well,
it's
in the book, apparently, it ends with the implication is that the Bobby automaton kills her.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yes. Uh-huh. Because this is like it says something to the effect of, like, she can't, you know, it's like she was, you know, she saw the knife, but, you know, it's like, but this is my friend. It's Bobby, and then it like cuts to like her in the grocery store. So it does.
Well, like
actually...
this is like a Body Snatchers thing, where it's like your robot has to kill you to get your soul. That's what I got from the end of this movie. I'm not saying that's what's going on, but why else does your? I mean, so no men.
I feel like men don't
do shit in this town. They're like, no robot, kill her.
I feel like
then make a sandwich.
The robots kill them. And then take their eyes.
That's what I was thinking.
I think
that's
the last part. That's
what I was thinking.
Well, that's why I was like, it's your soul. They got to kill you to get your soul.
Well, I think I want to believe that that's the one part
they can't replicate
and perfect.
They can't perfect it.
So they save that for the end, kill them, and steal the eyes.
Jeepers.
Because when we do like see the robot, it's got the black
eyes. It was awesome. Fucking black. Creepy.
That was creepy. I did not see that.
I was
that
not
coming.
Expecting no. that, and no. it was fucking creepy.
It was
creepy.
Awesome. That used to be the back cover of a lot of these VHS. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
It still is, ladies and gentlemen. It's just like verified.
I'm glad I didn't look at anything before this movie.
I didn't look at it either. I'm glad I didn't.
Jesus, it's fucking scurry. Creepy. Yeah. Like, the whole eye is
especially because, like,
how'd they do that in 1975? Just put a fucking big contact in
it? Jesus. Contact.
That's like a covers plate,
the whole, and she
like,
was head. Blind after the movie finished filming.
But that it's also creepy. Telling that, like, when so she, you know, this is her, Joanna finds her double in this room where they've created
her
like
very, her perked breasted double.
Why? What was the purpose of the close up of her tits? Were her boobs bigger?
Yeah, they were bigger.
They were bigger.
That's significantly
you
larger.
Tell?
I could tell, right? I was just not, you know, shirts, right? What they do to like.
Shirts?
I'm just no, saying.
You saw her tiny boobs the entire movie.
I did. You can't escape. Like,
no.
Like, I was like, why is he drawing her eyes? You could draw her nipples. Like you've seen those the whole movie. I could draw them.
Like, I could not tell you what the cinematography of this movie was like, so I was staring at her nipples the entire movie.
Everybody's tits I was staring at. Yeah. Everybody. That's what I'm saying.
Like, I don't think you can help it.
You can't.
Sorry, any listeners, but no. I don't think you can help it.
No. Have when they're walking through the field, all I stared at was Bobby's boobs the whole time.
Because she's got those great torpedo boobs.
Yep.
Well, there were times when, I mean, we were saying earlier that, you know, that they wear the greatest clothes in this movie. I mean, like,
they do.
In the 70s, apparently it was
jumper.
Yes. Yeah, where it's just buttoned, like, to the middle of the chest. And, like, she's sitting there and the flaps open. And you're like, so anybody sitting there has to be, like, just staring at.
No, you're supposed to be better than that.
I'm not. I was.
Yeah, neither am I. At all.
No.
I think that was the challenge of the 70s. Once you get
right,
the, like,
do?
You're not wearing the bra, so, you know, right. this is supposed to be just a normal thing.
How side profile can the camera get before we have to cut?
Yeah.
Because we got too far in the
shot. There was that nice side camera. I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah. Was like,
for a film rated PG.
PG!
It's surprising
Dragon
amount of
Slayer.
But you know they're fake
it.
Boobs at the
but
end. That,
yeah, they're totally fake. Yeah.
They look real enough.
They do.
Is
that a lookalike model? It could just be a lookalike.
No, that was her with a, yeah,
that was a prosthetic.
She's also wearing something down here as well.
Yeah.
She's got like a see-through negligee, so she's not like completely nude.
But there was the sheer...
Yeah, it was a sheer
that was
dress.
That was all part of the story, was that they're all part of the women's lib, braless revolution, but when they're a Stepford wife,
even
they wear
Bobby
a bra.
Mentioned it, right? She's
that's
like,
what
you
I'm
got
saying,
me this new
dude.
Bra? Look at my finger
this is,
now.
It's, I love, I actually think this is genius. I do think this is counter-revolutionary to feminism in a weird way. If you could convince, like, okay, the guy that created Wonder Woman, right, was all about how women need to dominate men and rule over. The guy had a wife and a 19-year-old girlfriend. It's like, that's what you do, man. You tell women, like, you're so much better. Kick me. Oh, put your fucking thing in my face. Like, and
Jesus Christ.
Damn.
That's how it, dude, they're making God. A movie about that guy.
Travis.
I'm telling you, that's how you do it. As long as you empower women to dress slutty. It's like, so weird. So weird.
You and I have very different definitions of empowering.
Look up the slut walks. Have you seen the slut walks going on recently?
No, I can't say that I have.
That's please, not something I Google weekly, but
you should. Dude.
I Google some
the
weird
slut
shit,
walks.
But never slut walks.
The slut walks have been happening all over the world the past 2 years because women want to walk around with their shirts off and not like you can't think of me as sexual. It's like, what? Okay, so biology out the window. You know. Look it up, folks. Yeah. That's where this movie gets you. Slut
that's your
walks.
Homework for tonight.
Truck.
Folks, apparently. Yeah.
Right.
For sure. Well, because feminism has taken
Bobby.
Different forms since this movie.
Since this movie, there were a couple of sequels, two made-for-TV movies. There was The Return of the Stepford Wives.
Yeah.
What did they do when they returned, Colin?
I don't know. I didn't see The Return.
Oh, it wasn't a cult classic.
That was 1980. Then I saw, movie. I did see The
Stepford Children.
That was
in the late 80s.
I can't imagine that. That's what I said. That's the first thing I said.
Why would you make it?
It was basically disturbing behavior.
I was going to say, it's disturbing behavior.
Yeah. The kids move in and like, oh my God, what's going on? Well, I think like dad is actually trying to get like everybody changed into.
Wait, were they young kids or were they high school? Like,
high school.
It was the mean dad like creep show. Is that what was going on here? It was like instead of the attack directly on the man, it was attack on the father. Like, fuck you, dad. You can't turn me into a fucking...
You know, I don't remember what happened in the other. It was a brother and a sister. It was like Tracy Gold or something.
Really?
Yeah, or something, right?
Drawing pants?
Yeah. It feels like Barbara Eden was in the fucking movie, too, but I don't know. I'd have to go back.
Are you a genie?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's his fantasy.
And then,
are you putting this together from all your like kid crushes?
I'm just,
I think he's ever watched an episode of My Dream of Jeannie.
I think Alyssa Milano was in it.
But you work at a TV studio.
Linda Carter.
That's the only reason I think
he's I'm going to go back and check this out. We'll post, like, you know, the he's probably, like, in the entire thing's got to be on
he's
YouTube.
He's like, no, it was none of them. It was, I know, what's her name for Murder, She Wrote?
Yeah, it was
and
Angela Lansbury.
It was Angela Lansbury and some other person.
Well, give me a phone. I'll look it up.
Return of Stepford Wives is on YouTube. That's I can't say watchable. I haven't watched it yet, but I thought about watching it before.
Is it when was that made? Like how far
80
after
or something
that?
You said, right?
80? I think that was 1980.
And that was
made for TV.
Made for TV?
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And there was also in the 90s.
It seems like just the same story just happening to somebody else.
Who knows?
I would guess. Sure.
A couple. Barbara Eden.
And then he's like, and
move their
Fuck.
Children to a small town where local men have things eerily under control. No, it wasn't Tracy Gold. It was Tammy Lauren. I don't know who she is. Richard Anderson from the $6 Million Man. Okay, so there was also the Stepford Husbands in the 90s, which was the gender swap. They already did this in 1996.
That sounds horrible.
Where the women have all the men in town replaced.
How
robots.
Did they replace them? I'm curious.
Yeah, what,
like slightly balding older husbands.
Yeah, do the women work 80 hours in that movie? Like, how do they find time to do this?
That would be interesting.
I didn't see it. It's probably made for the Lifetime channel. That's a generalization. I'm sorry.
Oh, my Jesus, Colin.
Yeah. And then it was remade in 2004 by Frank Oz and starred Bette Midler.
Oh, Frank Oz? Really?
Yeah.
Bette Midler?
Nicole Kidman?
Nicole Kidman.
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah. Which Faith you know, Hill. If Matthew Broderick said it, you know, go see it immediately.
Apparently, Travis did. He saw it in the theater.
Because I was excited for it, goddammit. I was like, cool. This is going to be the coolest thing in the world. Finally.
But it had no subtext or anything. It was just.
It's the same subtext. It's just terrible.
Just comedy.
It's just like. It's like no one in the real world dresses like this, let alone when you turn into your Stepford wife.
But that's
like,
what
it's
it looked
too...
like. That's what I remember. Like big hairdos and just like.
That's where it really goes 50s. It's like,
it
okay,
like
1975. That's what it felt like. 1975 talking about the 50s, not so far off. 2004 talking about the fucking 50s. It's like, the fuck?
Right.
Who are you talking
Everyone
to?
Everyone would know, be like, something's wrong.
Seriously.
Obviously.
They all look like they're from Leave It to Beaver.
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's just like, this
It's
well,
weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's bullshit. Hate that movie.
Hate it.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
But it has an ending where, like, Glenn Close is the mastermind.
Jesus, everybody's in this movie.
Behind the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
I'm sure someone liked it.
I literally
saw
the credits and wiped it from my head. Like,
all right, done.
Like, why did I fucking do that? Shit.
Well, all right. Well, I guess that's the Stepford Wives. I
guess so.
On the Saturday Night Freak Show, there is no mail tonight.
Nobody
folks.
Had Boo. Comments on fucking...
On the Stepford Wives?
Or no, Texas Chainsaw the fucking...
Besides from last week, which thank you for your write-ins.
I think we just got a lot of sad faces emojis. Yeah.
I think those were all you. I have a feeling. Yeah, I saw a few sad face emojis
I think
on
I did
Facebook.
Angry. I don't know. Maybe
it was crying. I saw
it. It was sad face.
Well, if you do have something to say about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation, The Stepford Wives, or any of the other films that we have talked about on this show, you can write into us on our Facebook page, which is, again, Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at Sat Freak Show, and you can write to us via email at SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com, and we would be honored to read your comments on the air.
Some of these people, they like everything, and I'm like, I want to know what you think. Yeah, I see your name every week. You never say anything.
Write words to us,
Looking
people.
At you, Chris Huddleston.
Oh, shit.
Looking at you.
You're being called out. So you better.
See, maybe they don't want to call. Maybe that's why. Because we had a previous listener come up with a different name, pseudonym, whatever the fuck you want to call it. So it's like, yeah, maybe people don't want their names repeated on this podcast.
On this podcast, okay, here's nobody's that's why listening. This... It's fine. Nobody's listening.
Shut up.
No one's going to hear this. You're listening, yeah. And that's
why I say all the sexist bullshit I say is because no one's going to fucking hear it. I don't give a shit.
Can't right. get out there.
Well, that took a different turn.
Well, that's going to lead us to our wrap-up section where every week...
same turn.
It's kind of my weekly thing. I don't know.
Yeah. So this comes to the point where everybody has the floor of what they thought of the movie. So we hope you stick around for that. So you hear that sound? That's Lurk the Butler coming.
The hour has come, sirs.
Thank you, Lurk.
That was a good joke. Thank you. I'm not used to those, but thank you. That was really funny.
Yep. So we're going to start tonight with Travis. What did you think of The Stepford Wives?
I love The Stepford Wives.
Like them as themselves or just the movie?
The movie. No, I really like this movie. I mean, I'm going to fucking smash its politics the same way I do a lot of my, you know, there's some movies that I love the story. Well, Bad Seed was one of them, right? I love the story. I'm against the politics 100%, right? So I can't necessarily separate them. He's like, this is a fucking political goddamn movie. It is. I don't give a shit what anybody. This is a political movie about how much white men suck. Not white necessarily, just men. There's a black,
there's a
one black family.
Family. There's a black family. That
once again, like... the 1950s. We got one black family. I think it's kind of diverse.
I kind of liked how they showed them at the grocery store, like they're the next ones.
Because they're arguing, right? That woman, that's once great. Again, is like, you never ask me anything. It's like, oh, I see you're wearing a do-rag on your head. I wonder why we came to fucking Stepford, you know? Goddamn woman won't wear a fucking weave. Anyway.
That was kind of a nice little thing at the end with the black family in the supermarket.
It was great.
It was great.
But I do agree with there was a quote from Ira Levin where he was talking about really he felt a little bad about making Rosemary's Baby because he's like, after I made Rosemary's Baby, now there's the Omen. Now there's the Exorcist. He's like, more people believe in the devil than ever. And it's my fault.
Your fault.
It is his fault. He understands it. He made it the most popular fucking thing to talk about in movies for the next 20 years is the devil. And he's like, I don't even believe in the devil. But I made it bigger than anything. And I think he did the same. Well,
and now we're inundated with the devil.
Well, but it's because we're so used to it. All we did was get used to it. So what
now
it did
it's crazy where there's actually like the Vatican has exorcists like all over the, yeah, it's fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the fear of these type of, like, they have, you know, you might have a good intention of entertaining or good intention of like, oh, I just want to teach women to not be so whatever. But I think there is, if you look at it too one-sidedly, I think they're, you know, you're just creating bad propaganda in a weird way. This is great, like, political thriller movie. It's just bad propaganda. Just because maybe there's just not enough, like, I don't know, maybe just, like, they're clean stoves. And it's like, couldn't there be a little bit more to than that? You know, like, but I like this movie.
I don't know, for 40 years ago, could there have been any more to it than that? I mean, they were kind of just honing in on the basics.
That's my problem. It just shows, it doesn't show like they're, like, I like the photography thing, her photography thing a little bit more. Like, her wanting the gallery guy to give her just, any, you know, her husband won't give her any sort of, like, he won't even look at her art, right?
Right.
I think that was more important than, like, women cleaning? Oh, my God. I was just like, that's fucking stupid to me. Like, I think women like to I hang out with women a lot, and they clean their fucking house while I'm sitting there standing. Women love to clean. I'm not saying they like to keep their own areas nice. That's something women do that men don't do. If you want to believe in evolution and biology, men learn to hunt. Women learned how to take care of the home. It's not a bad thing. It's called fucking evolution. You
I'm
know?
Cleaner than my wife.
Boom. Me because as well.
Of, I was going to say, Holly pointed at me. I know. Me both as of well. Your wives
because,
you are cleaner than that.
Because uh-huh. feminism's been around since the 70s. That's why. It's been around. It's been this long to where...
Because my wife's a fucking slob.
That's exactly
sure
it.
No.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there.
Trust me.
The Stepford Wives.
I'm telling you, it is here and there. It is.
It's everywhere.
If you want a good representation of this, check out a documentary called The Galapagos Effect.
Like the I think turtles? It's Galapagos Effect.
It's, yes, the
it's all on turtles.
Just like the island, that's what I was actually.
Like, it's about the turtles? But yes, the island.
It's about these couples. This is a real thing that happened. It's a documentary.
I've heard of this,
yeah. All these couples that moved to Galapagos, and all these women were, you know, these proud, like, this was like the 40s or 50s. So
did
this
they
was
get
your
broken
first,
down?
Like, well, no, they, I mean, if you're moving to an island, mm-hmm. right? Just sit down in an island, right? Who's going right, to make that a habitable place? Where when this other couple got there, one of the women were seen as this very, oh, this woman's done nothing but a housewife. We're on this island. The housewife kept the most fucking nice place for them to live on an island. It's like, so this is how you know. It's like, it's not just like some social construct where men like clean woman. No, this is what women have been designed to do. Sorry. Sorry, people out there. It's called science. Sorry.
Write in with your comments at facebook.com/SaturdayNightFreak.
Please watch Galapagos.
Travis.gmail.com.
Please watch the Galapagos Affair to see what I'm talking about. Don't just be like, I have feelings about what he said. Now I'm going to say, no, find out some stuff. Then say something.
Can you please register the Travis@gmail.com? I'm sure it's not taken, but I just want you to have that email for some reason. The Stepford Wives. I really enjoyed this movie. I was kind of... How long is this movie? It felt a little, maybe a little long.
A little long.
It felt a little
it's
long.
Almost 2 hours long. It felt a little long in there, but I was entertained throughout when maybe not much was going on as far as the advancement of mm-hmm. you know people being turned into robots. The relationship between Joanne and Bobby, I think, was very entertaining to me. When mm-hmm. Bobby showed up, I really liked her character. And maybe that's all the actress, Paula Prentice.
It's on the front.
Prentice? Paula, yeah, Paula Prentice. She was very good. I like their relationship in this. I think it's very well written. I mean, it is from 1975, but, I really enjoyed it. I would recommend it definitely over, you know, anything you've, that came after it. But, yeah, it gets a recommendation for me. I liked it. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's everything after this, right? Rocky. Star Wars.
Yeah, nothing. Just
this was the last movie made by American culture.
75 was a pretty good year. When did Jaws come out?
76.
Ah, shit.
No, everything was
all right, I was a year off.
Maybe nothing was
75. I thought it was 75.
Was it 75?
I thought it was 75. Just stick with 75 and don't go any further because it gets really complicated after that.
Yeah.
But I recommend it.
Yeah, Stepford Wives is a pretty good thriller. I think, you know, on this viewing, obviously, I've seen the movie several times before, so it's like it was really dragging for me this time around. But that's only because I've seen it, you know, several times. I don't think maybe it holds up under you know, to that much repeated scrutiny.
Yes.
But I think at least for the first time through, it is like, you know, a window into well, I guess, you know, I was going to say, like, the psyche of women in the 1970s, right? I don't know if this is still relevant today in the same kind of way because, you know, clearly it is like, you know, it's not really blowback for women, the women's lib movement, but it's like making a comment on it, where I think it was still, like, fresh in the zeitgeist at the time that this was made. So, now it's like, you know, unfortunately, a subject of derision and, you know, the remake, it's a comedy, yeah. You know. Does it work as a horror movie? Yeah, I mean, I think.
If you look at it from the perspective of the character.
Yeah, it's it puts you in a headspace where she's seeing all of this stuff, you know, spooky, I guess, things happen around her. And so once you're in her mind. It's terrifying. It's terrifying, I guess, to find out that, like, the only thing that men want of women is basically a servant and a sex slave.
The goddess nailed. The goddess.
You know? Well, I'm saying in the movie. This is what, you know, not in necessarily in real life, although I'm sure that does exist quite a bit, but, you know, from the perspective of the movie. So, it's... a decent horror movie. I think it's well written. I think, you know, the script is pretty sharp for the time. You know, having not read the novel, I can't actually say, you know, which one's better, but I would say it's definitely worth a watch. The Stepford Wives, you should check it out. Avoid the remakes.
Yeah. All right. Stepford Wives. I had never seen this movie. It was my pick, but I had never seen it. I actually took Travis's recommendation.
I do love it, despite what I say.
So this is your fault for letting him talk you into this.
Yeah. Yeah. I took his advice. No, actually, I liked this movie. I thought it was really good. It was slower than I anticipated. It wasn't as much of a thriller as I anticipated. I thought it was going to be much more psychological thriller. I thought there was going to be more detail about the fear, more details about them becoming the Stepford Wives. Like, I think they're...
Nowadays, you'd run into, like, there'd be a scene where they run into the place where they're making the wives.
And there's, like, and a needle in the eye.
Right, you'd see the bits and pieces of them being, like, put together.
No, it should be like The Fly, where she's, like, putting curlers in and, like...
But it would more...
I'm saying I'll hurt you.
Maybe more, a little more, like, body horror as far as that goes. But
yeah,
you'd probably see a little bit more. To keep you interested along the way for audiences.
Yeah,
nowadays.
I think I was expecting more of a suspense element, I guess. But I did like the story. It was really great. I thought Catherine Ross did a good job. I thought she was great. Actually, all the actors I thought were good. The writing was very well done. I definitely could have used more convincing than we talked about earlier than just like the clean house. Like, that was really their focal point. And
I mean,
I want a clean house, so I get it.
Right.
You're not a real woman. You should be ashamed of yourself. Put on your blue jeans and start fucking whatever the...
as far as, like, cultural relevance, I think nowadays it's a little... I think nowadays women put more pressure on each other than men do. I think as far as... Yeah, no, for real.
Oh, yeah.
I think so for sure. Like,
straight white men do not run the fashion industry. Never have. Not, so women are putting all this women and gay people are putting all this pressure on themselves.
Like, I know back I wasn't alive back then, so I don't know necessarily how it was in the 70s, but I feel like there was definitely a battle of women's lib versus the homemaker ideal that they've grown up with. Nowadays, I think women put more pressure on themselves to be that homemaker ideal. I think it's changed a little bit. So as far as like remakes and everything, I can see how the remake wanted to spice it up a little more than this one. But this one was way more well done. It was just, don't bother with the remake at all. It was awful. This one, it dragged, but it's a good story. I liked the ending. The black eyes was creepy as hell. I think it still holds up. I think it's a good movie. I think you should give it a watch. Again, like Colin said, maybe not multiple times. It might wear after a while.
Yes.
But one watch, definitely recommend. Stepford Wives.
All right. So that's the Stepford Wives on the Saturday Night Freak Show. Next week, it's my pick, I believe. So
Colin,
what are
you picking next week?
We're going to experience the horrors.
We're going to experience it. We're not going to watch it. We're not going to watch it.
Liberated female sexuality.
Didn't we just do
you got
that?
My attention.
1982's cat
more
people.
Science fiction.
Cat people.
Cat people.
So there you go. That's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, the basement is going dark.